how do we hear from God? Does he speak through our minds, our dreams, our imaginations? Or does he speak through the inspired word, the Bible? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us the powerful conclusion of a message on Jesus' use of parables. I'm sure it'll bless your soul. So here is Pastor Jim.
Now, it points out here in Luke that it was the disciples that asked this because of all the multitude. We talked last week about the multitude that had gathered and how they had come from town and town after town all through Galilee. The whole multitude wasn't curious. The whole multitude had, like we talked about earlier, they heard it, they went home. They saw the miracles, they went home. Or they came and they saw and heard and got mad. But his disciples, now, what is an actual disciple? Anyone know? What is an actual disciple? It is a follower, isn't it? So these are the ones who are followers. And really, we can define that down a little bit more or refine it down a little bit more by saying these are the ones who believe him and in him. These are the believers who have come to follow him. And they're curious. They're not satisfied with what they know and what they heard. They want more. Makes me think about studying God's Word. Do you listen to sermons? Do you read in the Scripture? Do you dig into commentaries? I have a number of commentaries, and sometimes I go looking for volumes, and they're loaned out. Because there are people who want to read and want to study. And so they come and they borrow commentaries. And if they're really reading and really studying, they may spend a long time in a single volume of my commentary. And that's okay. That's okay because I want them to go deeper. Now, if it's getting dusty on their shelves, they need to get it back to me. But if they're using it, it's okay because they want to go deeper. They want to know more. They want to see God's glory all they can because that's what happens as we gain knowledge, as we gain understanding, we see more and more of his glory, don't we? When we begin to dig into God's word and we begin to understand things that we didn't understand before, begin to see things that we didn't see before, and we begin to hear things that we didn't hear before, and we receive those things from God's Word, not only do we see more of His glory, not only do we honor Him, but we become more and more filled with His joy. Have you experienced that? Sometimes it seems like we'll go through a season of that, a time frame. Whatever it might be weeks, it might be months, it might be years. But after that time frame, it seems like we start to float away from it again. And we're robbed of the joy and don't even know it. Until all of a sudden we look and think, why don't I still desire God's word? Why don't I feel that great love of God and for God? And it's because we have wandered. I'm here to tell you, wandering is what sheep do, okay? And the sheep belong to him. His sheep do. So just because you wander doesn't mean you don't have Christ. But if you never are retrieved by him, there's the problem. And there's another sermon. To you has been given the secrets, the mysteries. Paul tells us that his responsibility, his calling, is to bring the mysteries of God to the Gentiles. To open up the eyes of the Gentiles that they may see those things of God. As we think and we ponder on just this part of this 10th verse, one of the things that I could not get away from when I'm considering why he would say to these it has been given and to these it hasn't, there's only one reason I could come up with: his sovereignty. Can you come up with any other reason? In his sovereign decisions, his sovereign foreknowledge, and let me just very briefly, foreknowledge is not God looking down through the tunnel of time, okay? Foreknowledge means God foreknew. God did not look down through the tunnel of time and say, oh, well, he's going to accept me and believe me, and he didn't do that, okay? If God did any looking down through the tunnel of time, he was seeing that those who he chose, those that he elected, heard the voice of Jesus and came. It was never based on what man did, always on what God did and his choice. In Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. He grants us the ability to believe in him. He grants us the ability to be saved. He grants us regeneration. He grants us faith. In fact, he grants us and gives us the desire and ability to repent even. It all comes from him. Yesterday, we had the Shared Blessings ministry was open and the food pantry was open. And I was sitting working at the door. I was doing the checkout where we count the number of items. We were a little bit shorthanded yesterday. And I was sitting there and one lady, I had counted her stuff and everything. And she had two other friends that were with her. They were three ladies from St. Mary's and the Academy over in St. Mary's. And I'm visiting with her and she asked me the question, what kind of church is this? I love that question. We began to have a discussion of the fact that I used to be Catholic, but God's word not only drew me, but drove me away from Catholicism to his truth. She was quite shocked by that. I mean, she was very shocked by that. And so she began to ask more questions. Well, what about the sacraments? Now remember, I grew up Catholic. I grew up in CCD on Thursday nights at $7. And then I had time in high school that I was in the Catholic school for high school. So I knew the questions that she was going to ask. And as she began asking me the questions, I began addressing them. And the part that she had the problem with was that it was just the authority of God's word that I would stand on. Well, folks, the authority of God's word is the final authority. We just came out of October, Reformation Month. One of the pillars of the Reformation is sola scriptura, by God's word alone. God's word is the only true commentary on Scripture. Scripture reveals Scripture. Does that mean you shouldn't use other commentary? No. But any commentary that says something that doesn't match God's word is incorrect. Period. It doesn't matter how smart, how godly that person might be. If it doesn't match God's word, it's incorrect. So as she and I had this conversation, her friends got done and she said, well, can we talk more another time? I said, absolutely. So I have the opportunity to share more truth. But as she went through the sacraments with me and she was just shocked that, I didn't think that needed a priest for confession. She was shocked that baby baptism did not wash away original sin, according to me, which is according to the word of God. It just shocked her. She said, can you tell me where it says that? I said, the fact is, it doesn't say it because it isn't there, period. I said, there is no example that I am familiar with in Scripture of baptizing an infant. I don't know. Maybe I missed it, but I doubt it. It's not there. Very nice lady. Very nice. And I'm not sure if her curiosity is curiosity from God to draw her, or if her curiosity is curiosity that she thinks maybe she can fix me. Having been Catholic growing up, I've had people that I knew when I was younger who still think I've left the church, is what they think. We need to, as those who belong to him, know that we have received the understanding by the Spirit. Now, as we talk about the Spirit teaches us, let's not forget that the Spirit will never teach us anything that doesn't match God's word, right? You know, no different than the commentary. One of the issues I have with so many speakers, and sadly, in the last 20 years, I've seen many in the Southern Baptist circles who think that they're getting some sort of new revelation. The only new revelation is new to you because you haven't been in God's word to get deep enough to see it. But there is no revelation apart from God's word. I was visiting with some folks this week and they were talking about how at this particular church, actually I think Jared was there too, is at this particular church, they would set aside the message if somebody had a word from God. Seems to me that that's what the message is. Isn't the message a word from God's word, which is the only place you're going to get a message from God? A lot of things I don't understand, I guess. So we who belong to Christ, we who are His, we who believe, we are the ones who these mysteries, these secrets have been revealed to. And we have the great privilege of digging into God's word so that we can see these mysteries. Used to be a man that came to church here when I would preach on something like this. He would tell me, well, I can't. He said, I've been a Christian all my life and I can't understand these things. Well, first off, there's no such thing as a Christian all my life. But I would tell this man, read God's word. Well, it's difficult. Then read small pieces and read it over and over and over and over. And if you do that, not only might you memorize some of it, but you'll begin to see it if you're His. You will. You'll see God's word. You'll hear from Him. And if it's a paragraph, if it's a chapter, whatever, if it's a book, whatever, just read it over and over and over. And if you're lost, there's your best chance of being saved, because it is by His word. By His word. I struggle with people who do not have a desire to study God's word. I struggle with people who want all these different things to be a part of a church service, and they're not willing to put their nose into the word of God to learn it. The fact is, if they would stick their nose and their eyes and their ears into the word of God, most of the things they asked me to do, they wouldn't ask me to do anymore, because they don't match. Oh, Jesus says there in verse 8, that second half, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He repeats this over and over in Scripture. If you have ears to hear, or in other words, what he's saying is, do you believe in me so that you can have understanding? Do you believe in me so you can have understanding? That's what that term means. Do you believe so you can have understanding? Paul puts it this way, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. That understanding is a gift from God. We need to be His. How do I become His? If you ask that question to the typical Christian, whether in the pew or in the pulpit, they're going to tell you something to this effect. Repeat this prayer and you'll be saved. They have lied. Maybe even unwillingly, but they have lied to you. If you want to be saved, there is nothing in and of yourself that can do it. But if you want to be saved, put yourself in the place that you are most likely to hear from God and be saved. Get into His word. Get into His word. Because I said earlier, and I say again, it is by His word that He gives grace. It is by His word that He gives faith. When people begin to hear God's word, Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, heard what? Heard His word. They began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. I said a few moments ago that in studying this, it brought up to me the sovereignty of God. In studying this, it made me look deep into the doctrine of election. But getting back to our text, again, continuing to reveal that same thing to me, that same thing of election, the next part of verse 10. But for others, they are in parables, how he's speaking to them. Why? So that seeing, they may not see. And hearing, they may not understand. I think I shared this last week, but I'll share it again this week. I got a phone call the other day, or a text the other day. A man asked me if I saw the sign that the church on the corner had put out. I said, I never look over there. I said, what's their sign? He said, it says, God loves you. I said, okay. He said, is that an incomplete message or is that a lie? I said, well, if that's their whole message, it's a lie, isn't it? For some. Because does God truly love everyone? That's what we're typically taught, isn't it? That's not what His word teaches, but that's what we're typically taught. Who is it that God loves? God loves His elect. He does. He loves those in whom he has called. He loves them deeply. But to those who are outside of that. And by the way, just to backtrack a little bit, we say those who belong to him, those who hear his voice, those who he calls, they came from the Father. All that the Father has given me, he says, all that the Father has given to me. And I'll get into that a little more here in a moment. So we have these that he allows to hear his word, and these that he doesn't. And we can go all the way back to Isaiah to find out why there's a difference. Or we can go back to Matthew 13. You see, there are some, if they hear his word, they would turn. If they understood his word, they would turn. If they could see his word, their hearts would turn and he would heal them. That's what it says in Isaiah. You see, the God of so many in this world is a weak and pathetic and impotent God. But the true and living God is powerful and mighty. People say, well, I know those who are so sincere. They've given their lives and this isn't what they believe. Well, I can say the same thing. I know of Muslims who have given their life to the extent that they have blown themselves up to kill people for what they believed. Does that mean they went to heaven? What makes you think somebody who believes a different gospel than the one that God has given us is going to go to heaven? Is there any reason to believe that a different gospel is going to send you to heaven? Paul goes so far as to say, if anyone, including myself or angels, come and teach to you a different gospel, let them be anathema, let them be cursed. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about a weak, lacking in strength God, but a God who can and does save all that he has chosen, all his elect. Something that I love is the fact that he chose or he elected those who he elected before the foundations of the world. If you look at the Lamb's Book of Life and the teaching about the Lamb's Book of Life, it says that the names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. That's when he chose you, if you're a Christian. If you belong to him, that's when he chose you. It wasn't when you got around to a decision. It wasn't because you went seeking him. It wasn't because of anything to do with you. There was absolutely zero merit in you to draw God to you. Just as there is absolutely zero merit in me to draw God to me. It is only by what he has done. I want to read a section to you of Romans chapter 3. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. By the way, this is verse 9 I'm starting in. For we have already charged that all, both Jew and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, and please hear this, this is the word of God. This is the truth. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruin and misery. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the description of you and I. This is the description of every man and woman to ever live. What in that description suggests that God would look at you and say, oh, that one's so sweet, let me have that one. I'm just going to pluck that one out of hell's teeth. There's nothing in that description, and that's our description. If you are saved, if I am saved, the only reason and the only way is by the mercy of God. Tonight I'm going to get deeper into the actual doctrine of election. I want to read to you from Mark chapter 5. chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out. His hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with Herodians against him to destroy him. You see, folks, this is what the unregenerated heart does. This is what churches are full of. They're holding counsel. They're bringing people together to create a new gospel because the one that Jesus Christ brought does not fit their desire. And so they have their own gospel, their own Jesus, in efforts to destroy the truth. One of those secrets, one of those mysteries that you need to know is they will fail. They will fail. Jesus will be victorious. No ifs, ands, or buts. Jesus will be victorious. As I work to bring this to a close, this is John chapter 6. I'm going to begin in the 37th verse. All, by the way, how many is all? Yeah, that's all of whatever category or whatever group he's talking about, right? All that the Father gives me will come to me. So all that the Father has given to Jesus will come to him. All of them, everybody who he has given him. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the gospel. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are among those who were given to Christ. Some of you have already experienced and have come to know him through regeneration, and some of you it may be coming, hopefully, prayerfully we hope it comes to you. But these are the ones who are going to be raised up. These are the ones who are going to find understanding. These are the ones who are going to receive eternal life. These are the ones he is talking about when he says, it is to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And to everyone else, there is not understanding. To everyone else, they are shut out, locked out, not received in. I want to give you a couple more verses. I'm going to drop down to verse 44 in that same text, because this is who comes to him. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So everyone who the Father has given him is going to come to him, and nobody else. It's pretty clear from his words, right? These are the words of Jesus Christ. These are, as they say, these are the words in red. These are his words. And no one who has not been given to him by the Father is going to come to him. The only way is if they are drawn to him, because everybody else stays in Romans 3. John 17, a couple of verses here. 17:2. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. You see how this is repeated over. I did not come anywhere near bringing all those verses in. You see how this is repeated? Verse 9. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world. Boy, that's a shocker to a lot of people, right? He is not praying for the world. And when he says the world, he is not talking about the dirt. He's talking about the people of the world. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And then I'm going to finish with this and then we'll pray. John chapter 10 and verses 28 and 29. He says, I will give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. See the closeness of the Father and the Son? And nobody and nothing can change who the elect are. Have you seen somebody that you look at and you say, oh, boy, that person, I don't see how they could ever be saved. Come on, don't lie. You've thought that. As you do, remember, God can do anything. And if they are ones that were given to Christ, they will be saved. They will be saved. And then we've seen the opposite side of that. We've seen people who seem to have lived this good life or this moral life. And we think, well, they must be saved because of their moral life. Friends, if they're not His, and if there's no desire, I know a lot of very kind, wonderful, moral people who have no desire for God's Word. And they are lost at this point. And if they are not one who is given to Christ, they will stay lost. But if they were given to Christ, then He will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Tonight, we'll get deeper into the doctrine of election and what that means, where it comes from, how we see that in the Scripture. But know this, as we go forward in Luke, He's going to continually talk in parables to the crowds. And as He continually talks in parables to the crowds, many are going to wonder why. And we see why now. Because by His Word and by understanding of His Word, we are changed. Please stand with me. Oh, Father, Lord, thank You for this text. Father, I thank You that You gave me what You would have me to bring this morning. As I studied, and there was so little beyond just straight out of the Word to this text, You revealed it clearly. I pray, Lord, that I have not hindered Your Word being heard by those who are here, but they have heard Your Word by Your Spirit and understood. And may You receive all the glory. Oh, Father, any who are here that are not saved, may they be of the elect, and may You regenerate them now. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. The only question is this: have you been born again? Has God given you a new heart, a new spirit? Has He given you the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ? Have you known the mercy of God in the person of Jesus Christ? No religious experience, obedience, or practice can save you. In fact, our righteousness is filthy rags and can only harm us, for it teaches us to lean on our own good work and to deny the Christ who is the only path to forgiveness. I beg you, cast off all your labor, all your good, and all your pretense, and fly to the cross of Christ. Beg for the mercy that is found only in Him, and find new life in the person of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We'd like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar, using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us, and it applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you'd like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you, and we hope that you'll join us next time. But until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.